You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Does picking an outfit have you running a little too fashionably late? We get it. Great taste takes time. That's why Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery, has your back with the largest selection of beer, wine, and spirits delivered in under 60 minutes. Convenience never goes out of style. So if you need to spend some extra time in the mirror instead of at the store, download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
Steve Miller was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by the Black Keys. And while the singer who created such hits as The Joker, Take the Money and Run, and Abracadabra was mostly smiles during the ceremony, he took aim at the organizers of the hall when it came to getting tickets for his loved ones or even his band.
The whole process needs to be changed from the top to the bottom. Doesn't need to be this hard. There's nothing fancy going on out there that requires all of this stuff. They need to get their legal work straight. They need to respect the artists they say they're honoring, which they don't. I don't have any of my paperwork as signed. I have no licensing agreements with these people. They're trying to steal footage. They're trying to make me indemnify them. When they told me I was inducted, they said, you can have two tickets, one for your wife and one for yourself. Want another one? It's $10,000. Sorry, that's the way it goes. I said, I'm playing here. What about my band? What about their wives? What about... They make this so unpleasant that they came this close. No, we're not going to wrap this one up. I'm going to wrap you up. You go sit down over there and learn something. So here's what you need to know. This is how close this whole show came to not happening because of the way the artists were actually being treated right now. So I'll wrap it up right now.
During their speech, Cheap Trick also took aim at the hall's restrictive ticket policies towards inductees.
In the next two months, I should be at number 8 and number 9 grandchildren. And thank you for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for charging so much that I didn't have to bring them all out here.
I think that the nominating committee of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is so fucked up, and they're just so inbred, and they're so off course. I think the only reason that I was asked to be in it now is because they had to do a TV show, and that's all a Hall of Fame was. There is no Hall of Fame. There was no party. They didn't introduce any of the inductees or the inductors. We never saw each other. There never was a little thing where they said, hey, this is the Hall of Fame and we're raising money and we're doing these music education programs and all that stuff. It was like, shut the fuck up. If you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to cut you from the show. And we go, really? Cut us from the show.
It's okay.
And then they'd say, all right, we're not going to cut you from the show, and you can have 5 tickets for the band. Fuck you. We want tickets for the band, the wives and stuff. It just went on, and it was 3 months of insults and bullshit. And the actual event was a sound check that lasted 12 minutes. This kind of shitty cocktail party on the mezzanine of the arena. Then was sent out to a table where I sat down at a table and didn't know anybody. And the people that were in the front of us never even turned around to say hi. We just sat there. We went and played a couple of numbers. Then off for this press thing. And the first thing they go was like, hey, how do you feel that they didn't put you in for 23 years? You know, and you kind of go like, fuck you. Fuck all of you people.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek and Uncontrolled Noise Radio Network. We're talking the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees with our special guest, Josh Toomey. Cobras and Fire, my name is Baco. I am joined by Luce Cannon and from the Talk To Me show, Josh Toomey. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Baco, and no thanks to you, Luce.
Yeah, I've run out of excuses, so I decided to join.
The reason I brought you guys here is I really just want to squash this beef. I brought you under false pretenses.
Damn it.
This is intervention?
Yeah.
What's that, babe? I gotta go.
Damn it.
Oh, man.
Right. Well, welcome, man.
I have both of you here because I'm pretty sure we are the only three people trying to get Joe Tex into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He better be in this year. Is he even nominated this year?
He did not make the nomination list. It's nice to know that you're ready to get into this, though.
Hey, look, I'm right here. Look at me.
I can't see you.
I can't see you either.
Is there a camera? Is this
no,
recording?
No, only my special camera for paid attendees.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, I see. Okay.
So, no, the real reason, obviously, we're here is our annual talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which you've managed to only do once, Luce, and you didn't include me or Toomey the one time you decided to talk about this. So,
I also expressed my thoughts on a voice memo and sent it over to you one year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right. No, but it's good to have everybody on board. I don't know. Before we get into the list of nominees this year, can you mind if I shoot out a couple facts about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Please.
All right. I think most importantly is everybody knows it's in Cleveland, but do they know the latitude and longitude coordinates? It can be found at 41 degrees by, I don't know how to read these things, by 30 feet and 31 inches north by 81 degrees, 41 feet, 44 inches west.
This is... bananas.
I don't think I said that right.
Mind's blown. It's good to know. Just in case that, when would that be coming into use?
I don't know. I just, something I thought would be interesting for the
nerds.
I
was unaware there was going to be any math.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about a little fun fact then? Were you, either one of you, aware that the Beatles were not in the first class nominated to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
This is bananas.
No. Because
was there a reason?
Yeah.
It's often used as a fact, like in articles to talk about. So, see, it's no big deal. You didn't get in the first time. Here's the little detail they leave out. The Beatles were not eligible until the second year of the Hall of Fame.
Bananas.
Was nominating people. And guess what? They got in right away. So,
see, I thought you were going to tell him that that year also Rufus was on the ballot. Still not in.
Yeah, Rufus, keep trying. Oh man. Well, I will say this: just a quick synopsis of this year's picks. It seems finally a little more rock centric, not as hard rock centric as my personal taste would like, but it's at least got a lot of bands that have guitars that might be a little distorted. What do you guys think?
As I sit here and look at it now, I do see a little bit more metal, a little bit more hard rock and stuff. So yeah, it's not bad. It's not too bad.
It is what it is.
Well, I think you can say that about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in general.
Go.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, why don't we just get into the list? We'll start breaking them down and we'll go. The first up, we got Pat Benatar.
We're running with the shadow. Come true in the end.
Featuring Neil Giraldo. I think it's important to Neil that we mention that Neil Giraldo is part of Pat Benatar.
I wish it was Greg Giraldo.
Who's Greg Giraldo?
It's a comedian that passed away. Incredibly funny. Unlike that joke.
Oh, okay.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Is he associated with Dane Cook?
Kind of the same era.
He said he was funny.
I thought he was part of his crew at some point. I remember that guy. He was kind of like a Seinfeld, no?
Maybe a little bit dirtier Seinfeld.
All right, let's just move forward.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Getting back to Pat.
Hey, Luis, are you promoting anything?
Yes, buy a box of Cobras, you motherfuckers.
Well, I think the first thing being that we're such a forward progressive thinking show, especially when it comes to the fair sex, the most important question I have for everybody here when it comes to Pat Benatar is, would you?
Yeah.
Not that bad.
Yeah, maybe back in the day. I don't know, she's held up pretty good, but... I guess looks aside, I've never been a huge fan. She's obviously got a ton of hits. Very productive from pretty much the start of her career as far as when she got on the major label with Neil Giraldo. And had a good run, was a big part of the boom of MTV. I'm not sure I feel it, though, for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Pat Benatar, my thoughts are that she is actually, I think, known as much for her hairstyle, which was shocking for a woman to have short hair back then, right?
Yeah, well, she bounced around quite a bit. I think the short hair came in more in the MTV era, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, well, that's what I remember. And you know, from looking at this, too, it didn't look like she ever wrote any of her own stuff.
Neil Giraldo did a lot of writing.
Yeah, the Hit Me With Your Best Shot is done by the guy named Eddie Schwartz, and Hello for Children is also not her. I don't know. These are the songs that I knew. I will tell you that I am going to vote no for her, just the simple fact that
on the yay nay thing. I'll set everybody up for that.
All right. Well, then I'll just say this. I will say no just because I've seen.
You just did it.
God damn it!
Hold up on the yes no thing. Yeah, like just okay. Give your, yeah.
Lewis, it's a no. It's a no for me too, but.
Okay. Well, I will tell you this much, and that is that I am not a big fan of hers, just for the simple fact of seeing karaoke where people get really drunk and say "Hit me with your big cock," and I'm just not a fan. So,
and that's really more Neil Giraldo's fault than Pat Benatar.
I think that's Eddie Schwartz.
Eddie Schwartz. What do you got here, Toomey?
The reason I know Pat Benatar at all at this point is my 5-year-old is a big fan of "Hit Me With Your Best Shot," and he will sing it along with it in the car, and it makes me laugh. "Love Is a Battlefield" is a pretty decent song. "We Belong" is pretty good. Fun fact: Pat Benatar married Neil Giraldo on February 20th, 1982, ooh, which is my birthday. So,
interesting.
You know, I'm trying to remember the name of the song by her that I really liked back when it was, you know, like a new song. But I think the fact that I'm still kind of trying to reach for some of these songs that aren't the radio staples just kind of shows where we're at with this. Let's do a quick run around here, though. First, do you think she'll get in? And the second, do you think she should get in?
I would say yes if it was Rufus featuring Pat Benatar. So no.
Yeah. You get one Rufus joke. There you go. To me.
I'm going to say no, that she doesn't get in, and a no from me, too. I think even though I think she's probably worthy of it, maybe in a weaker year, I think that she's got a lot. She's got too much to fight to get in the Rock Hall this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it should be noted this is her first nomination, even though she's been eligible since 2004. I'm with you guys. No and no. I don't think she gets in, and I just don't feel it as a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. I will say this. She has one of the most identifiable female voices in rock that probably should count for more of the credit than I'm giving her. Maybe I'll soften in a year or two, but right now I'm saying no.
All right, then.
All right, well, up next is... today they just closed... the fan voting that they allow that apparently Dave Matthews Band won, and that's our next guest. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey,
hey, what's going on, man?
Dave, it's an honor.
Dave Matthews Band. I'm going to kick it to you, Luce. Where you got here?
I went to one Dave Matthews concert at Alpine Valley, and it was. I have never been to a Slayer concert, but I guarantee that Slayer concerts are better behaved. Nothing there was fucking mosh pits. Women, basically, it was the whole Me Too movement was started. People were being thrown down the goddamn hills and everything over Dave Matthews. So I guarantee that place was nothing but douchebags, me included. And those guys, this is the target audience for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. These guys have bored people for 25 plus years with violin solos that go on for 15 minutes live. Please. Thank y'all for being here tonight. They're not getting in.
Come on up to me, little boy.
What's that?
Gun to my head, I'll go to a Fish concert before I'll go to a Dave Matthews concert.
Ooh, that's a
widespread.
I'm on the opposite end of that, but
really,
I'll take the bullet.
That wasn't a compliment to Dave Matthews. I'm just like, yeah, Fish.
No,
ugh.
There are if you're going to have bands like that, there are better ones out there. They just seem very
agreed. Oh, they were like college rock when I first got into them. It was like an album later,
Crash.
They were all of a sudden like basically attracting what leftovers from Grateful Dead shows. You know,
I'm so annoyed by them because they always play like three nights every fucking town I've been in. In Florida, they play three nights. People always want to go to it. It's like the same people that tell me to go to a Jimmy Buffett concert. You know what? You go to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Yeah. I'm not going to spend my time out there. It's background fucking music that you're paying a shitload of money for. Ask a massive Dave Matthews fan to list off 10 songs. Guarantee they can't do five.
As big as they are, because they are massive. And like you said, they'll play these outdoor shows with 20,000 people and they'll do three nights in a row. I just don't think a band that big shouldn't be required to know every song in their catalog to enjoy their show, because they will definitely stay away from the songs you know. They're just one of those kind of bands. But you know how like some restaurants make you wear a jacket or tie? I know for a while you were required to wear a baseball cap backwards, but it couldn't be like it had to be an expensive one.
Dave Matthews is something obviously I've never been a big fan of, and I'll pass on.
Why do you
on.
Say
I'll
obviously?
Have you heard my show? Like, you heard my taste in music? You know.
After years on the road, Toomey parked the van and picked up the mic to bring you this podcast.
If I'm going to Florida, I'm going to see Deicide and Obituary, not Dave Matthews, Luce.
And Biscuit, but, man.
There you go. I say I'm all for that. When are they eligible for the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. When was their first record out? 25 years after that. So probably kind of coming up.
2022 then. Quick math.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just never been my thing, and... I think I'm with Luce on the not getting in though, but I just don't see it personally. They're not in the Talk to Me Hall of Fame.
Right on. I should mention it's also their first year, first nomination, second year of eligibility. First. Yeah, the 2018 was their first, so they've only been skipped over once. I don't think they get in, and I don't think they deserve it.
You've heard it. Dave Matthews was not going to get in. Totally getting in. You, Josh, are you with me or no?
I'm with you on getting in.
Okay. Next up is Depeche Mode.
Thank you.
understand.
Nominated for the third time, first eligible in 2006.
This is somebody that we've covered in the past, and I believe we said no then. And I'm sure I'm going to stick with my Depeche Mode nose on that one. Just they're no Duran Duran, but
I'll tell you this: I did like the song "People Are People," and that was about it. I eventually grew to like Personal Jesus a bit. But it seemed like at a certain point they were one of those bands that would probably do very well if they came out now, because there was so much like about them, mainly the singer David Gahan, and all sorts of kind of dark, moody, you know, superstitions and myths and I'm sure some truth, but it just seemed to be less about the music with them, and they could just like disappear for 4 years in a time when nobody did that, and come back, and we'd all have to care and pay attention because we're all really smart, you know what I mean? And so I don't know, just not never a band. I don't think I've ever bought anything by them.
This is basically Radiohead 1.0, where it was
kind of,
but it where it was a critic's darling too. Like, look at these guys. This is a band that's insisted upon you, if you see my meaning.
Does that make the Strokes Depeche Mode Part 2.2? Anyway, carry on.
I don't know, but like if it's a band like this. Now, The Cure were nominated. Did they? I don't think they get in though. Correct? They were nominated like a year or two ago. Is that accurate?
Correct. I think they might have got in.
Okay, so this shows how much I pay attention. But for a band, I know that's not exactly the same band, but that kind of is in the same zone to me for whatever reason, that kind of moody music. And I highly would respect The Cure more, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
They have more memorable songs.
I get the moody as far as putting them connected. I never would have done that prior to that. So
I don't know.
All right. Well, Toomey, you're up first then. In, and should they be in?
They should not be in, and they will not get in once again.
I'm going there too. I didn't say that on me. I'm everything Toomey says, I'm agreeing with.
Tonight. Okay,
that's a good plan.
3 for 3 then on this pick. We all are saying nope and nope. Well, that brings us to the Doobie Brothers. I'm a little surprised. This is their first nomination.
Wow.
Now, isn't this one of the band members, the guy that was on the TV screens and 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, what was the line from Paul Rudd? Like,
I would rather listen to Fran Drescher for 8 hours than have to listen to Michael McDonald. Nothing against him, but if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
Yamo gonna blow this place up or something, but...
My God, there's this place in Maryville, Indiana called the Star Plaza, which I saw. It was like a 3,000-seater. It's a legendary place to shut down now. But the point is I was dragged to a concert by to see these guys once.
What year would have that been?
Jesus. It was like late 90s. So what, they were already 50 years into the game,
yeah,
at that point?
If you go to their website, they're really pushing the Rock Hall thing. Anyway, carry on.
I don't see them as an iconic band. I see them as a rock band that was in the 70s and whatever and had a few hits, but did not stand the test of time. You don't see people clamoring for a Doobie Brothers tour.
Yeah, I mean, God, they had a bit of a resurgence in the 80s with that song, The Doctor. Almost at the same time,
right,
the Beach Boys were doing the Kokomo thing. And it kind of similar, too, where there was kind of like a couple key members were gone. Did you know Michael McDonald actually came in midway?
No.
We now return to Michael McDonald during allergy season.
Yeah. He he's not on the they had a greatest hits record out before he joined the band. it's the only record by them I think I own. But I like that Family Guy where Peter hired Michael McDonald to fall around and sing what he's doing.
All right, guys, it's going to be a long night of Border Patrol, so I brought along Michael McDonald to help us out.
How's he going to help us?
He's going to do backup vocals for everything we say.
How's he going to know what we're saying?
How's he going to know what we're saying?
Is he going to do it for all of us?
Yes, he's going to do it for all of us.
Yeah, I hired him for the night.
Yeah,
he costs like $2.50 an hour, so don't skip on the conversation.
Don't skip on the conversation.
That sounds nice.
Well, I guess everything's back to normal.
Well, I guess everything's back to normal.
Oh, man, not this guy again.
Oh, man, not this guy again. Fart!
He's got a nice voice. What's the five songs they have? Name two or three of them.
China Grove, It Keeps You Running, Jesus Is Just All Right With Me, and I'm Starting to Run Out of Gas.
I thought that was by Michael Sweet.
No, he made it. He should do a cover of it, though.
He did do a cover of it.
You said China Grove, right? What's that one? Blackwater. Blackwater.
I'm sitting here looking at the greatest hits album of the Doobie Brothers, and I honestly, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they actually should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they have the catalog. They have, you know, we're all making fun of Michael McDonald and all the hits, but I mean, Jesus Is Just All Right. Listen to the Music. Long Train Running, China Grove, Blackwater, Taking It to the Streets. I mean, this band definitely deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The three of us right now should try to do that a cappella breakdown on Blackwater. You guys ready?
I can't do that, but I can do Jesus Blackwater, Just All Right.
Keep on, Lucy, keep on rolling.
That song. I like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
By the hand, take me by the hand. Pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some.
I retract it. Okay, yeah, they do have some.
Keep
this
on
is like
on me.
Yeah, this is like Creedence Clearwater's Revival, Idiot Brother.
Yes.
The weird thing is, like, I first heard of Creedence because of those TV ads trying to sell their greatest hits. I didn't ever even for the longest time ever thought they were a legit band. So my memory is kind of tainted by that as much as I was wrong. I'm with Toomey. I'm putting them in. I'm surprised that they've never been nominated. This just I didn't know they were one of these bands that apparently John Werner hated or something for whatever reason that you don't even get a fucking nomination. But yeah, definitely enough. I don't think they're getting in though. Loose.
Yeah. They're not getting in. And
I am
looking at this. They don't belong, and they have three songs I like on this Greatest Hits.
Okay.
So I'll give them that, but
So a new criteria that we're going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame needs to add is there needs to be at least four songs Loose Cannon Lights.
That's right. I'm giving them something. Before I started, I probably should have done some research on some of these bands. But the Doobie Brothers, they actually just the name. This kind of sounds like a clown band. Immediately dismiss them.
That brings us to some more squish. Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The Black Celine Dion.
Yeah, I guess you get this one.
I think Celine Dion would be the white.
Is the Canadian Whitney Houston. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. You got it.
Sorry,
I got that all fucked up.
I did the wrong one. All right, sorry.
And but, there ain't nobody, not even those lonely Eskimos, are rubbing one out to Celine. not when they got a Whitney Houston album cover nearby.
Sure, why not?
Well, if you're in Canada, you've got all kinds of squish. You got Shania, you got Alanis, you got
true.
Avril.
Yeah, you're good to go.
See a diversity there. Well, back to Whitney. Honestly, don't have a whole lot of an opinion on this. She had a monster career. She lip-synced the national anthem, and people loved it.
Sure.
I don't know. She is what she is, though. I mean, she's like the offspring of already famous people, basically being handed a record deal, and then I would say delivering on the promise. So, but not an area of music that I think I don't know. I'm terribly an expert. Let's put it that way.
I don't know, man. This kind of falls into that like Madonna's in the Rock Hall of Fame category. So you kind of got to put it in that part of it. So it's how can you really say no to Whitney, but I don't know.
Well, come on. She's definitely getting in. First off, she's dead, so that helps.
Posthumous.
Don't you think? That's definitely a selling point anytime somebody's up for the Hall of Fame.
The only reason I would kick back on that is this is her first nomination, and she's been eligible since 2009. And when did she die? You know, it's been a while. So
yeah, that's true.
2 years.
But, I mean, listen, she's had a huge impact in American culture. I mean, there's even a microbrewery around here that has a Whitney Brewston that's pretty good. It's an IPA, but it has a slightly crack aftertaste. But in general, I mean, just, you know, she's just part of the culture. So I don't even have any criticism to say about her music, just that she's getting in.
I think she deserves it, even though her biggest hit was a Dolly Parton song, and it doesn't seem like anybody knows that. I mean, don't get me wrong, people know it, but it's just one of those things that kind of gets glossed.
Which one?
And I will always love you.
But she was an amazing talent, and she had a great voice, and honestly, a fun career, and a lot of fun tabloid stuff with that train wreck of a husband of hers, Bobby Brown. So. If anything, just Bobby to get Brown? Bobby to show up and all coked up and fat to the awards is worth it for me. So,
what was your quote about what's amazing about Bobby Brown and crack? Yeah, you said he's the only guy that you ever said got fat being crack.
That's right. Yeah, the only guy got fat doing crack. But now he's a character, so it'd be great to see him out and about. And you know he'd be crying under sunglasses too. So
you know, looking at her discography here, I mean, she's really only got like the two main songs, the I Will Always Love You and I Want to Dance with Somebody. I mean, there's obviously some other
the
minor
Children
hits
of the Future
on here.
Song, what the fuck is that one? I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. That was a fucking big one.
That was.
I don't even
see
that on this list. But
I don't remember.
Yeah,
it's
I think
not
it's
called Children of the Future.
I think I'm going to say she's a no from me. And no for the Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, up next is a band I think a little more near and dear to our tastes, and that's Judas Priest.
You're in for surprise. You're in for a shock. In London town streets, when there's darkness and fire, when you least expect me, and you turn your back, I'll attack. I smile when I'm sneaking through shadows by the wall. I laugh when I'm creeping, but you won't hear me at all. Oh, hear my warning, never turn your back on the ripoff.
Their second nomination, first eligibility was back in 1999. Big fan of the band, obviously. We've done a couple episodes talking about them. We both saw the show recently. They've had a bit of a resurgence on the concert circuit, a la kind of like Iron Maiden. I think Iron Maiden's a little bit bigger right now, but I am happy to just see anytime a metal band gets on here. This genre has been getting ignored a lot, so any love it gets, I think, just helps.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are huge fans of Judas Priest. I enjoy some Judas Priest, and yeah, anytime any kind of the classic metal bands get on this list, it's always good for the entire genre.
Again, I've mentioned on the show, wasn't a huge Judas Priest fan to the last like 4 years or so, but yeah, I mean, they definitely deserve it. Come on. He's the metal god.
Yep. Hopefully they play that song, too.
I just want him to get there so he can take out that motorcycle and look like he's hurting his back and getting off of it, like when we saw him live and stuff like that.
I'm a yes, obviously, for putting him in. I'm just too skeptical. No way. They're not doing it.
What's the flow going like then? Like, is it going from like Dave Matthews? Like, if these are the people getting in, does it start with Dave Matthews, then slide into a Whitney song covered by some famous artist, and then go into Judas Priest?
I want to see the All-Star Jam at the end of the night where Rob Halford sings What Would You Say with Dave Matthews. And they just have a hologram of Whitney, you know, wanting to dance with somebody.
Yeah, but for Whitney, do you think it's going to be a hologram, or do you think it's going to be just grab whatever flavor of the month is?
Yeah, it's going to be Rihanna. You know what? It'll be fucking Beyonce.
For God's sakes.
Okay.
Like, that bitch could hold a tune.
So angry.
The beehive is coming for me now.
But are we saying that there's typically six that
perform, five to seven is what they get.
Five to seven. Okay, so six. That's math. Okay. But yes, Judas is a yes,
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
5 plus 7 is 12 divided by 2. Yep, you're right, 6.
Wow, okay. But I'm looking at this list right now, and after you get past here, I'm going to say no, they're not getting in this year.
I think I'm with Luce on that. I don't think they get in either. Obviously, I think they should get in, but I don't think they get in.
Yeah, so that's jeers to you, Hall of Fame, if that's how it works out. But who knows, man? Kraftwerk, boy, we've talked about these guys before. They seem to keep coming back up. As a matter of fact, this is their sixth nomination, which might be a fucking record. At what point do you go, It's just not happening, bro. I don't know this band at all other than that they're electronica music, right? And they're German.
Yeah, I mean, they were just pioneers in, like, the 70s. And, you know, like, we always, you know, you and I are big football fans, and Lewis is coming along. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know, where they do the whole, it's hard to get three wide receivers in 1 year. I think this is a year where you've got Kraftwerk and Nine Inch Nails, and like one or the other is going to, you know, cancel it out.
And Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
That's going to be, well, yeah, be one of those. It has to be one of those three, right? If you're going to have any of them.
Man, that's a good point. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be Nails, Kraftwerk, or Depeche Mode. And I'm sorry, you got any more to me on the craft?
No, you're good on that one.
Yeah. I mean, no, just first off, the name is ridiculous. It doesn't translate well. You know, it's cheese work. Here in America, it's just not a good name to begin with. But I did like their Man Machine and Computer World era, and their Tour de France and Electric Cafe albums are definitely the pinnacle of their career. No, nobody's heard the names of those albums anywhere. So this is a critic's darling, but even so, they are still not going to get in, and I don't think they should get in.
I don't know, man. I mean, the albums Autobahn and Radioactivity, you know, kind of. Really invested in the newer technologies such as the Mini Moog, and their use of the EMS synth AKS, you know, gave them a newer disciplined sound, and so maybe that does kind of put them over the edge.
And if you've ever been roofied in a gay bar, this is the music you want to be listening to, man.
If you're ever in between a Ralph Hooter and a Florian Schneider, run.
I speak from experience.
You motherfucker.
Okay, sorry. Also, but also drummer Falk Griffenhagen. Now he's, how is he not on the best of the drummers list every year? Falk Griffenhagen.
They're getting in this time, but I don't see why we would put him in, but I think they're going in.
No. Well, if they do get in, it has to be like the Grateful Dead, and they put all the members in, because otherwise you're not going to get Husgang Niederport or Plato Kostic.
And there at least has to be one band that gets in, and they do something like that just to piss off Matt Porter.
That's right. Oh, tonight to get all the people in?
Oh, sure. He gets in, but not Bruce Kulick.
Well, I mean, how can you deny Eberhard Kranenmann and
right.
Thomas Lohrmann.
Oh, God.
What about Fernando Pluff? I can't even pronounce that. It's P-F-A-F-F-E-F. How is there four? How could there be four Fs in a word?
Husheng Neja Depor.
That's what I was trying to say. I was trying to say it, too. I just want to get up there. Klaus Dingel. Yeah. Emil Schutt Wolfgang Flühl. We love words. Toomey and I like the names. Bucko's like, please get done reading with Wikipedia. What is this, Decibel Geek? Yeah, we're naming off all the
moons.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes.
Oh yeah, do we really need a third person saying German names wrong?
Okay, let's move on.
Well,
so that's Kraftwerk.
What's the vote? So I said they're in.
No. I say they shouldn't be in, and they're not going to get in.
Okay.
This is just a, Jimmy, you just summarized what I said too?
Yeah, they're not in.
Okay, all right.
Do you think they should be, Jimmy?
No.
Okay. Well, let's kick out the jams with one of the bands I consider to be the most overrated in the history of rock music. There's a tip of the hat, little tease. MC5 seems to come back up. As a matter of fact, this is their fifth nomination. They have been eligible since 1991, to which Kraftwerk says, Dibersnuggen! Farfignugen!
Yeah. MC5 is simply a name. It's pretty much like dropping a name of a band that says, yeah, it's like Detroit music from the
It's like the New York
the
Dolls in a new Nikki Sixx interview, you know.
Correct. That's
circa 83 to 85.
I only hear that it's one of these band names that I only hear name checked. Like you're saying, like the New York Dolls is a thing like we respected this. You know what? They had a song called Kick Out the Jams. That's the only song I've tried to listen to some of the stuff. That song is, you know, it's a song. It's a basic song, and you know who did it better? The Presidents of the United States of America.
Well, but have you ever heard it sang when Handsome Dick Manitoba was the lead singer of the band?
Well,
2005 to 2012, you fucking Wikipedia pricks.
Hold on. Hold on. What is his name again?
Handsome Dick Manitoba.
Okay, done. They're getting in. That's all I need.
You know what? Everybody gets in except for Handsome Dick.
That is a shame. Any other names in that band? Because, you know, nobody
nothing
knows.
Nothing that fun other than Steve Anapuma Morehouse, but...
Okay.
He was only in the band for like a month.
Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not getting in.
February to March 72.
So how many times have they been on the list? This list, though? It's got to be a few, right?
Five. I said five. This is their
you
fifth
said
nomination.
Five? Okay. Fifth time. Yeah, it's...
Thanks for listening.
No problem. You know, I'm always just thinking about what to say next, not listening to you.
Yeah, with this band, I mean, it's kind of like a one-hit wonder influential. I guess they're influential, but they're just kind of a one-hit wonder. And they're also just kind of like a one-photo wonder band, because there's always that one photo that's out there that you always see.
They're all
shirtless. That guy's big fro.
Yeah. I mean, so they had a cool look, and they had one jam, but I that's a no and a no from me.
I'm pretty sure that the Strokes cite these guys as a major influence.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Do you realize they only have three fucking albums?
I'm surprised it's that many.
Three!
Who do they think they are? Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, but at least they had...
Look, Sex Pistols are in for one record, and I think they deserve it.
Yeah.
The reality is most bands that get in, even if they have a long career, get in for a very short window of what they did.
That's all I have to say about them.
Is this throughout?
No, they shouldn't be in, and no, they're not getting in.
Yeah, and no, they should stop being nominated. We got a couple more of those coming up.
There should be kind of like a statute of limitations for times that you're once it's five, you're done.
Up next, I think we're all going to have a little more fun with this one, Motorhead.
Fantastic band. Definitely should be in. I know that's kind of jumping the gun there, but you know, we're not going to argue on that one. Any Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should have Motorhead in. They had to have been nominated. Have they ever been nominated before?
This is their first nomination, and they have been eligible since 2002.
Wow.
Unreal.
Shame on you, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Step aside, Doobie Brothers. This is the bigger outrage.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, you know, you get... great past members like Phil Wizzo Campbell and Michael Wurzel Burston in, so hopefully they all get in.
No, did you see that? They actually said it's basically the classic, the first few album lineup.
Phil Campbell's
Phil
not going to get in?
Phil has been in there since, what, the late 90s or late 80s? And even Mickey D, who I think came in 92, 93, something like that.
Bullshit. I do believe they actually did come back and amend that one. That's
did
the first
they?
Time I've ever seen them do it. But I believe with Motorhead, they actually amended it and put the other ones in there too. Normally they come out and they're like, no Bruce Kulick. You know?
Yeah. Now, actually, I did hear that because they're also putting in Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer with Motorhead.
Oh, nice.
Perfect.
That'll bring Matt Porter back to Earth.
But is that accurate, though? To me, they are going to have those two, because those are the only two in the band. I mean, they've been there for like 25 years.
Yeah,
I believe so. Yes. I believe that was the
cool. I did not hear that, so I'm glad that's finally they're doing something right. Maybe it's because John Warner didn't step aside. You know, they're being a little more open with this stuff.
This is the Dave Matthews of metal, and what I mean by that is that there is no way they are not getting in. And what all I mean by that is that they're on the list. They are getting fucking in. And let's say not even for them being Motorhead, they are going to get in. Because it is an opportunity for Metallica to get up and jam on their songs and things like that. It is a crowd-pleasing moment. And yes, of course they should be in. I think a lot of people maybe in the 80s first became aware of Motorhead just because of of like Metallica and bands like that that kind of worship them, and you saw their shirts, and they, because they weren't a huge band, really kind of an underground band, and then you slowly
I don't think they have a gold record in the States. I'm not positive on that, but
yeah, I was wondering about that. Not even Ace of Spades, you think, huh?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong. Carry on.
Yeah, but and just the fact that, you know, first off, again, every time I say this, it's not really a disrespectful thing. It's just simply the fact it helps that they're dead. Seriously, like there are a lot of things on this list that are on there for the first time, and you know, there's too much legacy for them not to put them in. And there's some, I also think there's too many people that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now too that are Motorhead fans that are going to put them in.
Yeah.
So you can go on kind of the whole Motorhead thing itself, but I'm just speaking to from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and chances of them getting in and why.
I tend to agree. I mean, if for no other reason than for Hollow Whitney and Hollow Lemmy to do a duet of Ain't No Nice Guy at the end. But I tend to believe they are getting in largely because there has been kind of a bit of a change in the culture of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And fuck's sake, how do you not? Their T-shirt should probably be in there.
Yeah.
It's like there should be a T-shirt wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where it's like their T-shirt and the Ramones T-shirt. It's really a shame that they didn't take this stuff a little more serious. It would have been nice to do this when Lemmy was alive. You know, at least it would have been the right thing to do. But yeah, I think they're getting in.
I said yes, and I did look it up. Phil Campbell and Mickey D were originally excluded from the Motorhead Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination class. Following uproar of fans and fellow artists, the Rock Hall has now added the two musicians to the list of members eligible for nomination.
And right now, Bruce looks like, seriously?
You motherfuckers.
And also, I should say, too, is that the reason that I said that Judas Priest won't get in is because Motorhead's going in.
Okay, that works, too. Yeah, if I'm picking one of if I have to pick one of the two, yeah, it's going to be Motorhead now and Priest at a later time, hopefully.
Yep.
And we'll dig into some of that snubs maybe a little bit later here. But well, before we carry on here, I think it'd be good to kind of talk about the whole process of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you kind of touched on something a minute ago, Luce, that I think it's at least interesting to talk about. And that is kind of the whole process and the actual criteria and what they consider a Hall of Famer is kind of vague and not really transparent. And to be honest, I kind of get it for the most part. Like, the only solid criteria is you're not eligible until 25 years after the first record you released. Beyond that, it's kind of a combination of success, you know, influence, shaping the rock and roll, all that kind of good stuff. Do you guys, like with the band members, it's kind of weird. I actually think most of the guys in Kiss should get in, but I kind of get why they just did the four. As much as I would say put them all in, especially if you're going to do it with the Grateful fucking Dead, I also kind of get why I get why Matt Sorum isn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This band blew up, sold 30 million records, fired their drummer, and you took a gig that everybody in the world wanted. You really didn't do anything. You know, at the same time, I get why Sammy Hagar should be included with Van Halen, that kind of stuff. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Should it be more concrete, like these are the rules, this is how we do it, or should they be able to have some kind of judgment? Because frankly, most Hall of Fames, there is a lot of judgment to it, you know?
Well, I would say if it was up to me, I think you would almost have to include the band, maybe the core members of the band in the decision. And I know maybe you would get some hard feelings and be like, no, fuck that guy, he's not going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But if it's maybe kind of a committee, but include the band members themselves.
Oh, and, like ask them like what they think.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, hey, Axel, do you think Matt should be in? You know, like the one snub that I find insane is the Pearl Jam drummer. He's not in, and he was on like the first two albums. You know, like how do you not let that guy in, but you let, you know, probably Jack Irons or somebody, whoever's in place of the drums on Pearl Jam.
Right.
I think that's perfect with what Toomey said, and that's what I always thought should be how it should be. It's just simply, yeah, talk to the founding members. If they say, yeah, this guy was important, have him come in, you know?
What about it, like things like, hey, look, if you have, you know, three albums that sold 15 million or 5 million a piece, you know, that means that weights a certain much or a certain amount.
Yeah, that's when I think you get a little wacky, because then you can go to the whole thing of the drummer that was on the album that were the three Ramones' least sellers, but they were the most influential. I'm just giving you an idea of like something like that. You know what I mean? So I just think.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I just think the simple thing is ask the band members.
Yeah, that's a pretty good solution. I don't think I've ever heard that before. So well done, Toomey.
Look at you.
Appreciate it.
I know for the most part the three of us don't think this thing matters that much, largely because of the way they've handled it and they've dismissed a pretty good chunk of music that means a lot to us. But let's say for a second it does matter and you do want people to take it like this really is an important thing. Then I think you almost do as an entity want to go, I don't want fucking Matt Sorum walking around telling people he's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer because he kind of piggybacked on everything. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying it's complicated. I kind of get it. At the same time, there's so many examples, like the drummer from Pearl Jam, that are just obvious brain farts. And, like, this doesn't make any fucking sense. Wavy Gravy doesn't know how to play an instrument, and he's in the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the Dead. So there's times where it makes sense and times where it's just like, what the fuck? You know, it seems with Kiss, it does just seem like this is our last dig at you. All right. Well, let's get back to some real rock. And that brings us to the notorious B.I.G. I'm done, you know, bitching about rap. I think I mentioned that a couple episodes back years back when we did this. It's in. That's the way it is. I've always thought this guy was one of the most overrated rappers of all time. I don't know that we would view him with the certain, level of credibility that we do, were he not caught up in that whole Tupac and Biggie bullshit and that he wasn't murdered at a young age? Because as a rapper, I just think he's okay. And I don't see anything he was doing that was necessarily groundbreaking. And frankly, kind of hard to listen to. Toomey?
Yeah, of all the rappers that they've been trying to the force feed into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, yeah, he's definitely not one of my favorites.
So I'll agree with both of you, and that is simply that there's perfectly rated and there's overrated. He is beyond overrated. I mean, he is, first off, just the fact that he's associated with Puff Daddy knocks him down.
No shit. How did that guy become who he is? My lord. Yeah. The only black guy involved in hip hop that can't dance.
And his only skill is wearing a suit. That's it.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could make a career out of that.
And get him to the Greek.
Oh, y'all think this meeting is for me? No, no, this meeting is not for me. It's for y'all. See, I'm gonna be all right. I'm straight. I got villas in Brazil, Tahiti, East Hampton, West Hampton. Sergio gonna be fine. Fuck a recession. I own 20 kookaroos.
21, sir.
I own 21 kookaroos. Y'all don't own one kookaroo. Not one. Not one. Y'all are fucked.
You all are fucked.
He's not wrong.
Oh, my God. But listen, but no, if it wasn't Tupac and the whole, yes, that whole thing. But no, he had a very
Tupac only
short
had
window.
One testicle when he died.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he lost one and he got shot, you know, a couple years earlier or something, lost a ball.
Oh, so he's one Pac.
Yeah, one Pac.
Wow.
So but no, of all these that have come up here, no, this guy is the least rock and roll. You can say NWA's rock and roll, obviously, you know my feelings on Ice-T, but the fact is from a talent and just a length of catalog. He's had more albums. Like Tupac and him have had more albums after they've been dead.
Yeah,
you know the
which to me says a lot about how easy it is to make a rap album. I used to think that they'd have the track and everything ready and they'd go in and rap over it. I'm pretty sure that's not the case. We know it's not with this stuff.
Yeah. Well, then they just add guests and stuff like that.
Another reason,
but whatever.
Like this guy's released 10 albums since he died. Why can't a current rapper do an entire record without a special guest, much less 10? Per song.
This is that's my thoughts on it. Now the problem being is 1, 2, 3. He's getting in. Maybe because there's no other rap act this year. I'm gonna say he's not. Are we at this point? I'm gonna say obviously no. He shouldn't be in. And you know what? They're gonna take a pass at a rap act this year because this is a big. This is a big B.I.G. push.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no and no.
Same here.
Yeah, I'll say no and no also.
That brings us to Nine Inch Nails. Kind of like a cloud, I was up way up in the sky, and I was feeling some feelings you wouldn't believe. Sometimes I don't believe in myself, and I decided I was never coming down. Just then a tiny little dot caught my eye. It was just about too small to see, but I watched it way too long. It was pulling me down. This is their third nomination. Kind of surprising they've had that many. Only been eligible since 2014. Pretty Hate Machine was a pretty big deal at college radio when I was in college. I worked at the college radio station, and this was one record that was getting quite a lot of push. Just from, not just from the fellow DJs and stuff like that, but people calling in and asking for it. I absolutely think that record is brilliant. And beyond that, there's been a lot of. A lot of songs that I thought Trent Reznor really delivered something unique and special with, but as an album, I don't think he ever matched the debut. Not a crime, but just in my opinion, I've always felt that was the best one.
Yeah, this is one of the bands that, even though I'm not a gigantic fan of, I think that I know that the shift in music that kind of happened when Trent Reznor became popular and Nine Inch Nails became popular, and you know, just even bringing us. You know, like you said, the albums, and then every band that came after him, such as, you know, like Marilyn Manson and thing like that. So I think that he's definitely Trent Reznor himself, and then Nine Inch Nails as a whole is definitely a cornerstone in music, and definitely brought on a whole new style of like kind of like metal, industrial metal, and paved the way for a lot of bands.
Yep, I'll go with Pretty Hate Machine, just like what Baco said. That is his best. I do really like the EP Broken. Two that came after that, and the majority of Downward Spiral. But yeah, but past that, The Fragile is a bloated mess. And but I agree with what you're saying. But yeah, influential, and again, a critic's darling.
Yeah, but a lot of fans too. I mean, I heard more of the fan chatter. Like when they were on that first Lollapalooza tour, they were one of the acts that stole the event. You know.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they, that's what I just was asking. Have you ever seen them live?
No, me personally, I haven't. I just,
I've seen them, I don't know, three or four times, and he brings it live, and, you know, obviously influential. But it's one of these bands that I've kind of, like you said, back in the day, you think a Pretty Hate Machine was great. That some of the stuff isn't really stood the test of time for me. So but, this is just a personal thing. As far as just from the actual Hall of Fame, I say yes, they should get in. And this year, they are going to get in because Depeche Mode and Kraftwerk are not. That's my prediction.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm with Lewis on that one.
All right, so that's a unanimous one again. All right, well, now let's get to Loose Cannon's pet project, a band he's been trying to get into the Hall of Fame a whopping, I don't know, we're going on 20 years now. They've been nominated four times. Only four times. This is the first time I'm like, no way they've only been nominated four times. I'm not just talking about Rufus. I'm not talking about Rufus featuring Neil Giraldo. I'm talking about Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. I know nothing about this. I think of Chaka Khan, and like other than them getting nominated and then seeing their records. I remember seeing them in like the used record store, and I'm like featuring Chaka Khan. I thought she was a guest for one album. She did that. She covered that Prince tune as her solo career in the 80s, and I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Slim her down a little bit. She was quite a biscuit today. Now, is Rufus a band or a dude? I don't know, man.
Okay, well, first off, I just want to let you know that they weren't always called Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. They've had a couple names. The first name they had was called – first name was – this is actually true. This is not the joke. The joke is just the truth. And that is the first band name was just called Smoke. Then the second band name was called Ask Rufus –
Ooh.
Then you have Rufus and Chaka Khan, Rufus and Chaka, and also Rufus with Chaka Khan. So variations of
so it's
of
a lot like Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, Starship.
Yeah, right. But Mike, first off, you know, just like we say, we should have vetting committees for band names. This is the ultimate one, if you think about it. Rufus, if your name is Rufus, you're changing it when you're going to rock and roll, man.
Well, I actually have this brings up something, a rule that I think should be clear. If your band name has the word featuring, it is not Hall of Fame. That is a Nicki Minaj song. Okay, not the name of a band. Yeah, this is a song of Nicki Minaj featuring this guy. So
yeah, I think that's it. That's definitely right there in the rules. Put that on page 55, section B. That is definitely added.
And well,
yeah.
I will add though that in 1974 they released the great album Rags to Rufus, featuring the Stevie Wonder penned "Tell Me Something Good," which is a good jam. Yeah. So yeah, little one hit wonder action. But yeah, no, sure. This is a big no for me.
Supposedly sampled by a ton of rappers, which to me is not. Not helping the cause, but yeah, I'm going no and no. Luce, you too.
Well, I just want to let you know too that when they used to be called Ask Rufus. Just so you know, the name is taken from the title of the advice column in Mechanics Illustrated. let that sit for a second. That was the inspiration. Was reading a copy of Mechanics Illustrated, hope had like a hot chicken top of a car or something.
All right. Well, up next, do we know if Todd Rundgren, is he getting in as a performer or a producer? Do we know?
Just still be a performer, right?
It's in the category of performers, so I'm just going to make this one simple for me. As a producer, yes. As a performer, hell no. What, bang on the drum all day?
That is the worst fucking... When I looked this up, this is the one research I did. I'm like, I know Todd Rundgren produced Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell and a couple other things. And then when I found out he's the ass hat that is behind that fucking song that I hear every Friday when I was growing up, oh... The worst.
My neighbor in college, Wilson and I, as I mentioned before, rented a tenement just a few miles from the campus. But he bought a double disc Todd Rundgren Greatest Hits because he wanted that song. And you know, back then that was probably an $18 CD at least, right? My point.
Yeah.
That's what caused Napster. Paying $18 for that fucking song.
Oh, Toomey? God. Toomey, please.
Yeah, he's much more of a producer than a rock and roll guy. Because, I mean, the list of songs here, I'm like, I don't know. But when it gets down to his production credits, such as Grand Funk Railroads, We're an American Band, the New York Dolls, and like you said, Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell. So, yeah, he should be in for those and not a performer, but yes, a producer.
All right.
But he's going in as performer, yes?
Well, that's what it says, but, you know, I can't imagine that he got nominated for his performing, you know? It's like...
No.
All right. Because maybe all I'm saying is maybe the performance category counts producers. I don't know. You wouldn't think so, but I'm not on the board. Soundgarden, what do we have? We got two grunge acts in, Nirvana and Pearl Jam. This would be number three. Boy, this band meant a lot to me during the during their heyday. But I got to tell you, their window seems a little short. Again, and maybe another posthumous boost, according to you. The drummer would be getting in a second time. And
is that allowed?
Matt Cameron.
No, I said, is that allowed? Or they just say you're
hell yeah. I think Eric Clapton's in like five times.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say this. If you get in with a band like, say, Black Sabbath, I don't know that you should get in as Ozzy, too, but that'll happen eventually. I'm going to say, God, I would love to see him get in, but I just don't see it happening. I'm not even sure I think they deserve it or not, but, God, they're a part of the big four of grunge, right?
Yeah, and from what – I gather, I mean, they were kind of, they were pre-Nirvana and pre-Alice in Chains. I mean, they were kind of the,
right,
sure,
the original,
yeah,
of that whole group, too. But yeah, I think it's more of a Chris Cornell passing away more than anything, you know, them, yeah, getting in. As long as past members Hiro Yamamoto and Scott Sundquist, hey, gets in, then I guess, yeah, we will be fine.
For the record, I could have named Hiro Yamamoto without looking it up. So he yeah, plays so, on the first records, and like he, I know he's up to Louder Than Love, but
yeah.
I mean, Ben Shepherd should get in just because he played bass at his feet.
Yeah, you know, shit. I think the song "Loud Love," just that the very beginning intro up to the drums kicking in is enough to put him in, if you ask me, but.
I hear you, man. No, they listen. They had a 3-album run for me that was, you know, just killer. Maybe 4.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For this, it's just kind of like you just said. It's the death thing, the death card that's played on this, and also the fact that I just think that it's a bit of a push right now. Because if I looked at this, I would rather see Alice in Chains on here.
Yeah,
this is
I
a
guess
personal
it's a good
preference.
Point. Yeah. Me too.
And. Really?
Yeah, but I guess even less, okay, less product in a smaller window, but I still put them ahead of them. But I don't, man, it's so close.
It is hard because I think all of them are going to go in anyway, so that really doesn't matter. There's a reason that I'll go into in a second why I don't think they are going to go in this year. But with that said, are they deserving? Yeah. Of those bands, though,
I just don't want to hear a Kim Thale acceptance speech. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know what? They're not getting in just for him. He'll bore me. He doesn't seem like fun.
Self-important like, douchebag.
Yeah, that guy just seems like he has an odor to him, too.
Oh, yeah. You look at a picture of him, and you can smell him.
Oh, yeah.
He smells like Otto's jacket.
It's like a scratch and sniff.
Oh, my God. What do you think? How much food waste is in his beard right now?
It's him or Slayer Man.
Rick Rubin.
That guy. Oh my God! Yeah, who has the grossest beard? Like you said, right, Baco?
Yeah, it was Tom Araya actually cleaned his up. It was Tom Araya or the Gary Holt. Gary Holt still has the gnarly beard going, I believe.
But back to Soundgarden real quick. With all due respect, you know, we have Baco and I have a big love for Soundgarden. We did a whole episode on them. You know, and they were definitely important to me, and still are those albums. But I'm going to say no this year.
I was kind of in the camp of should they get in? Yes. Will they get in? I think the Chris Cornell passing away probably puts them over the edge. But I think that might be my call. Is I think they're a yes in. Should I think they're in? Yes. I think you guys are a little too close to the band. To make a call.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm kind of on the fence a little bit. It's like, God, this almost seems like it's just my personal taste.
What? Yeah, so I take it back from a business perspective. I'm going to go now, listen to me a little bit, and that is they're getting in this year because of the you know. It would seem mean not to have them go in this year if they're going to be nominated.
Seem mean. Tell it to Lemmy. All right.
I can't.
Well, we got to move on here. Up next, we have Greg Troyan's wish list, T-Rex. I got to tell you, I only know that Bang a Gong song off the top of my head. I had to look up and find information. They were a little more productive, but man, what a small window. And I don't know, is being one of the early innovators of glam really that big a deal when you know, basically you weren't Bowie? I don't know. It's like saying Poison belongs in because of Zeppelin. That's going to fucking blow up Troyan's head, by the way. Oh, wait, he loves Poison. He probably just thinks like, yes, exactly.
T-Rex is perfectly rated. That's all you need. That's
you kidding?
I'm just going to move it. And that
they may,
he's
they
perfectly
may have invented
rated.
The term.
You may, yeah, exactly. I'm looking at this and, yeah, no. That's it. He's a name that's dropped. He's the MC5 of Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Yeah, now no, T-Rex is a band name. Do you not know that?
I do know.
Okay. He kept saying he.
Oh, how about he's the MC5 of
he just said it again.
He's the MC5 of Jurassic
he
Park.
He did it again.
What? What do you mean?
I don't think you know it's not a he.
I know. It's fucking Michael Bolin or Michael McDonald Bolin. Yeah.
Michael
Tommy
Bolton,
Bolin.
Yes.
Hey, look, you referred to Nine Inch Nails as a band.
Quick story. It was at a local club here in Louisville, and the club has all these paintings of famous rock stars on the wall, you know, Eric Clapton and Janis Joplin or whatever, and there was a painting of Mark Bolan, and I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Oh,
and
man, did you get some clap back?
I took a photo of it and put it on Facebook. I was like, who is this? And everybody was like, what are you talking about? That's Mark Bolan. And even when they said who it was, I was like, who the hell is that? Like, so, yeah, they're not in.
Yeah, you know what? He's no Rachel Bolan.
Rachel Bolan and his nose ring chain in.
For T-Rex. Yeah. I promise Mark Troy, though, I don't really care. Throw him in. Fuck it. I don't give a shit.
No. Not for me, but I will say.
No, I mean, whatever. I'm just saying, I don't care. Put him in. I don't think they're getting in, no. And I don't even think they deserve it, but. I'm sorry. I don't think he deserves it. There you go, Liz.
20th Century Boy. That's the other one.
There
that's
we
actually
go.
A good song.
Great riff.
Yeah. Covered by every single band ever, too.
I will say this. That is one of the most ripped off little pieces, although largely because it can be just put in a very small spot as like a transition piece. But still, it's there. Good. That leaves us with one band. It's actually a great way to end the conversation. Of course, I'm talking about the Monkees.
Ron Keel.
Yeah. Thin Lizzy. This is their first nomination. Another fucking shocking kind of thing to see. Since they've been eligible since 1996. To me, I don't know how that they haven't even been nominated. This seems like it. You just fucking put them on a steamroller and drive them right in at this point.
All right.
How can you argue anything? Success, influence, impact on rock music. Phil Lynott or Lynott. I'm not sure if I got the pronunciation right. Either way, but
I think it's Lynott.
Yeah, I believe it is too. But it just made such a difference. And even I'm not that big of a fan. I think most of their stuff is really dusty sounding, but that's largely because I listened to it long after it came out. You know, I don't have that kind of instant recall that can suck me back to when, like, oh, it was really cool and sounded great. But there is no denying the monster impact these guys have had on music.
Yeah, it just shows the ineptitude of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If they haven't been even nominated this entire time, this is a as surefire slam dunk of a band that's ever been on here.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I didn't even know, because in the 80s, Boys and Back in Town was like in every fucking movie for some reason. In the 80s, it was even in goddamn Toy Story, and I didn't even know it was Thin Lizzy. And my point of telling you that is that song is so much of a part of culture where you don't even know the band, and you know that fucking song. You probably know Jailbreak, too, and a couple other ones.
Don't forget their other hits, Working for the Weekend.
Bang on the drum all day?
Bang on the drum all day. you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that, too.
and now Chris Sinzak's head is exploding. Stephen Michael right now is on a treadmill somewhere going, is he serious or is he fucking with me?
I mean, you were talking about it, but there's just an odd band, though. I mean, I didn't even know there was a band. There's albums called Shades of a Blue Orphanage and Vagabonds in the Western World.
Yeah.
I mean, they had like, this is back in the day too, where a band could have like four albums before they actually had a hit too. And they'd be like, did another one. And that was when Jailbreak came out. But man, they have to go in.
Suffer. Like even Rachel Bolan talked on it in a recent interview on Cobras and Fire that I loved. He touched on it and said that basically like he was a big Thin Lizzy fan, but nobody really, they weren't, they never really broke in the States, and I think they kind of suffer for that. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should be above that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, how many times has Rufus been on here?
Exactly. And nobody fucking knows who Rufus featuring Chaka Khan is. Everybody's like, Chaka Khan? Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan?
If it was maybe if it was Thin Lizzy featuring Rufus, it would have been a different situation.
I mean, Thin Lizzy should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just for off the top of my head, I'm just... In 1972, Thin Lizzy were asked to record an album of deep purple covers, which was released under the title Funky Junction, play a tribute to Deep Purple. No mention was made of Thin Lizzy, but the vocals and keyboards were handled by members of another band called Elmer Fudd. So, there you go. So
you got a spit take out of me right there. Yeah, I literally was taking a drink when you said that.
Fun. By the way, for those that are somewhat, you know, cursory Thin Lizzy fans, check out Renegade and Thunder and Lightning, their last couple of albums in the 80s. There's a song on there that I don't think that Baco even heard called Cold Sweat.
Yeah, I've heard it.
They used to have John Sykes in the band. Well, there's a fucking just ripper. And anyway, they've got some great stuff if you want to dig in. Yes, they should get in. And hold on, let me see how many I have here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think that they will get in too.
I don't think they're getting in just because it took this. I mean, almost just a way to stick it to them. You know what I mean? But they definitely belong in, though.
I think they're a yes and a yes.
I hope you're right.
Me too.
Are we going to list off our six to see it when the reality hits?
Yeah, let's we'll close with that. You can list off it doesn't have to be six, but if you want to do six, yes.
That's what I'm doing.
But yeah, list off the ones you want to put in, and then throw in one that you think isn't nominated that you'd like to.
The six in: Thin Lizzy, Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails, Motorhead, Dave Matthews Band, Doobie Brothers. And one band that I think should be in, and I think that this is the first year they're eligible for nomination, is Korn. I think Korn will eventually get in just for their cultural impact and what they did for 1994.
That's a good pick. Okay, Lewis, what do you got? Who you got going in?
All right, Dave Matthews Band is going in, Whitney Houston, Motorhead, Nine Inch Nails, Soundgarden, and Thin Lizzy. And again, how I'm doing this is saying those are the six that I know are going to go in this year, whether I agree or not. And the one that should go in but will not is Judas Priest. I don't have an outlier like Toomey just had just now.
Okay, I'm not going to do any predictions. I'm just going to say who I think belongs in. That would be these are the ones that I think are slam dunks. It should go in automatically. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. Whitney Houston, Judas Priest, Motorhead, Thin Lizzy. I'm guessing you guys might be right about Rufus and Chaka Khan squeaking in this year.
I didn't say that.
Just kidding. It was a joke that bombed. And Jesus. Honestly, I'm starting to come around on the idea that Motley Crue belongs in. So that's the one band that hasn't been talked about, hasn't been nominated, that is eligible. Obviously, I mentioned in the past the whole Misfits thing would be cool with me. But you know what? The Sunset Strip hair metal era doesn't really have anybody in there. I mean, maybe you count Bon Jovi, but I don't. I think Motley Crue probably deserves it for so many fucked up reasons, and again, for maybe three records, but whatever. That's the way it's been.
Cool.
All right. I'd like to thank our guest, Josh Toomey, for joining the show. Josh, it's always a pleasure. Josh, why don't you tell everybody what you do and where they can find you?
Well, I host the Talk To Me podcast. You can find me anywhere that these wonderful podcasts are found. If you found Cobras and Fire, I'm sure you can find me too. Talk To Me, TOOMEY, or talktomepod.com. And a lot of good stuff going on over there.
Any big interviews coming up? Anything you want to tease?
The most recent episode will be the Mikey Doling of Snot and Soulfly. He's doing a solo project, and we are actually premiering his new track on the podcast and on the website. He actually reached out and asked if I would premiere his stuff. So I think that was really cool of him to do. And it was a cool song, and make sure to check it out. It's called Dirty Clown, and you can check that out over at talktomepod.com, or check out the interview and premiere of the new track.
Well done. And obviously, we've had a good relationship over the years. You, the Talk To Me and the Cobras and Fire show. And I'm a big fan. So, Lewis, got anything nice to say to our parting guest, or are we going to keep this beef going?
No. I would like to put my request that the show art be the picture from behind of us all holding each other at the Rockin' Pod Expo with our hands in each other's pockets or whatever that was. I think that should be the show art.
Done.
And that should say Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the background. Photoshop that shit up.
Done.
Okay. Thank you, Toomey.
Thank you. Rock's not dead.
But if it was, it would help with the nomination process. Rock's not dead, but fan voting closes at midnight.
Rock's not dead, but if you are, your chances of getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are better.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.